The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're broadcasting to you live from room 1102 at the, the Cambridge Hotel in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. We're actually coming an hour earlier, at least this time zone brings us live at 6 a.m., so we've come up here, as many of you know, for the PAC event. Last night we had 177 people in attendance. 66 of them were non-members, not in the Philadelphia Church of God. So a successful event, and we have some clips that we've prepared for later on in the program. We have some audio feedback from the people that attended the event, and then we also have an interview with David Vigil, who helped to put together some of the facts and figures for this event and prepare the event in advance. So we'll reserve that for the end of the program today. So make sure that you stay tuned so that you can get some of the bits from Red Deer. Really exciting to see quite a few people that we know from many years ago. We've been in Red Deer. Well, we had a presence here in the 1990s and on through to, I think, 2003 with Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles site. And I know for me personally, it was a feast site that I visited, I think, 5-6 years in a row. It was also the place that I had my first official date with my wife. So we were driving in yesterday from the airport and taking a trip down memory lane as we were coming back to the same hotel, actually, that they had the feast site in 1995. It goes by a different name today, but this was where, as I say, I met with my wife. I knew her before the feast, but then we had a date here locally before I headed off to another feast site, and then I guess a year and a half later, we were married. So pretty exciting place for us to come back to. My wife is here with me. My daughter came along, and we've got quite a few from Edmond that came up with us. We had really inclement weather coming out of Oklahoma City, so there was a little bit of a delay leaving OKC, but after that, it was just a really smooth day of travel. We got into the hotel, I think, about 1 p.m. in the afternoon. The personal appearance campaign, started at 3:30. I think we went until about 4:45, almost 5 o'clock with the end of the event, and then stayed there chatting with people until maybe 7:30 before we broke for dinner. So we thought about recording a program in advance last night, but didn't get around to doing that. So if everything goes well, you'll have a full live program from Red Deer, Alberta. Red Deer is situated right between Calgary and Edmonton, so we've got two nice congregations in those two big cities, and it's about 90 miles either way to get to those PCG congregations. So we've had people coming in, members and non-members alike, from all over Canada. I think as far as non-members go, we had 3 people that came from British Columbia, so people that are driving across the Rocky Mountains for 6-8 hours, I think it is, to get to this event. And then, of course, members coming in from all over Canada as well. So a really exciting time. Last night, I talked about the Jeroboam end and went through some things from, just comparing the last two presidencies in the United States, the Antiochus administration and then the Jeroboam administration, and pointing out just how different these two administrations or these two presidencies have been. And of course, the emerging scandal of the Antiochus administration, Spygate and everything else, all the other scandals that led up to the transition to President Trump in 2016. It is a strong contrast when you have one administration that comes in saying they're going to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and then that follows up with one who says America is good and strong and righteous, and he's not going around apologizing for America's history like the Obama administration did. So a stark contrast there, and of course it aligns with so many prophecies in your Bible respecting Antiochus and Jeroboam. We went through some of the history from ancient Israel in 1 Kings 12 and I think in chapter 14 as well, talking about the Jeroboam of old, the first Jeroboam, and then leading into Jeroboam the second. I'll just move ahead into my notes because I thought there was a really interesting section in Amos chapter 6. This was brought to my mind from a short article that that Brent Noctegal wrote for the Trumpet magazine. Of course, we're familiar, many of you are familiar with Amos 7, the confrontation between Jeroboam and Amaziah, the high priest, and then the prophet, God's prophet. But if you read the chapter before that, this is all part of Amos's warning to Jeroboam and to the people of Israel, where he says that you better be careful not to put far and away the evil day, to think that it's not going, these end time prophecies are not going to happen. We should be, as it brings out in that chapter, grieving for the death of our nations. But you read through the whole chapter, Amos chapter 6, and you see that the people of God, or rather God's people, aren't acknowledging him as the source of all of the blessings, as the source of all of this expansion of power and prosperity, something that we saw, as I say, even in ancient Israel with the reign of Jeroboam II. Here was this this king who wasn't righteous, and yet God, because of his mercy, because of his grace, he expanded the empire or the kingdom at that time and gave them one last chance to turn back to him. And of course, My Father and Great Again, and in the article last year, Saving America from the Radical Left Temporarily, he points out how that's happening again. You can see the same thing happening in the nations of Israel today, specifically the United States of America, where we're experiencing this temporary resurgence. Amos 6 and verse 13, by the way, it talks about, or there's a verse there that says that the people of Israel are saying, you know, we did all of this ourselves, and we really don't need God. And so, as I say, that's a lead in to the confrontation in Amos chapter 7. So I'd encourage you to study that. We went through all of that last night, and then finished off with quite a bit of plugging the material, the literature, and like with every other pack that we've had, there was literature and opportunities to sign up for the follow-up Bible studies. We've got two of those planned, I think, on July 14th and July 28th. I believe we had 10 people sign up for the follow-up Bible study. We had three, besides me, we had three PCG ministers here in attendance, David Weeks and Mr. McKay from, I believe, from Calgary, and then also Tim Ostendorp. So really good coverage, and everyone was spreading out last night, and the brethren, as I say, were just super excited to attend. I mentioned earlier the feast sites that we had here in this particular hotel, the Cambridge Red Deer Hotel. Back at the time, I think it was under the name Red Deer Capri. Some of you that attended this feast site back in the mid-1990s probably remember that name. But from 1995 to 1998, the feast was held in this particular hotel. I think the room we were in last night was a new room or an add-on to what we observed the feast in the mid-1990s. I think it was in 1999 that the feast then moved to the Red Deer Lodge, which is just down the road from where we are now. Early on, it was a really big feast site. In the mid-1990s, we had as many as 500 to 600 members attending the feast at Red Deer. And then it started to go down a little bit from there as we added more feast sites in the United States and in Canada as well. I think in 2003, the last year that we had the feast here, we had 250 members. So we continue tonight with the second night. I think last night's follow-through rate was 56%, which is a pretty strong percentage of people who registered for the event. We had quite a few, fewer people register for tonight's event, but I did my best to try to plug tonight's lecture, telling them that it would be an excellent stir to action. And so hopefully we'll get a good turnout tonight. I know some of the members that drove great distances to get here won't be here for the second night either. So hopefully we'll have a good crowd here this evening, they'll come back for a message that, like I've typically done, you know, the first night's more prophecy-oriented, and then the second night is more of a, you know, what do you do with this material? So it's something that we can continue to pray about. The evening event starts at 7:30 tonight, so it'll be a little bit of a later presentation. And then after that, we'll stay the night here and then carry on with our travels tomorrow morning as we make our way down to Spokane in the northeast of Washington State for a one-night-only event on Tuesday night. So we'll I'm not sure what or how we'll continue with the broadcasting, but we'll do our best to keep you posted on the events and activities surrounding this pack in Red Deer and Spokane thereafter. When we come back, we'll roll through, probably fairly quickly, we'll roll through some of the headlines before we then work our way toward a Bible study. And then, as I said, those clips from the campaign. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
And welcome back to the program. I didn't have time to digest a lot of the news that Richard forwarded to me today. But just to run through some of the headlines, and in the UK, Boris Johnson is in a bit of trouble with his neighbor, calling the police after a row that he had with his girlfriend, lots of shouting and even sounds of things smashing. So I'm sure the media is going to run wild with this, as so many of them in the UK are not—they're not fans of Boris. So, in any event, we'll keep our eyes on that as well. I think it's whittling down to the last few candidates for the prime minister, the office of prime minister, in the UK. Also, quite a few stories continuing to come in on Iran and the lack of response, I guess, from the United States. As I think the president said over the weekend, you know, first he was accused of being a warmonger, and now they're calling him a dove because he didn't respond. And I think there is some truth to the fact that anything that he does, as we've pointed out before on this program, is going to be criticized. In any event, there's no response, at least to this point. And some have said, well, this is similar to Barack Obama's red line in Syria. He didn't respond. And so how can you say that he's a strong leader? We've pointed you over and again to the prophecy in Daniel 11 and verse 40. One of the PAC attendees last night even asked about, well, what does the Bible say regarding the United States' response to Iran and these attacks on the oil tankers and then the drone just last week? And I said that, well, there may be some, we don't know the specifics. What we do know is that if the U.S. does respond in some form or fashion, it's not going to be devastating for Iran. It may set them back more. But we know that ultimately the clash is coming between Iran and the King of the North, which is the European beast power. So it is interesting, though, to watch, and considering the way that President Trump campaigned coming into office, wanting to get out of these entanglements abroad, wanting to pull the U.S. troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq and so on. And now, of course, Iran desperate because of all the sanctions. And that has been a show of strength coming from the United States, the sanctions and such. But here is Iran lashing out at the U.S., at the international community. And to this point, there has been virtually nothing. My father's even made the point. I mentioned the example of Ronald Reagan basically taking out half the Iranian Navy during the 1980s. And my father's made the point before that even Mr. Reagan, even President Reagan, really could have come on stronger against Iran. When you think about what Iran was getting away with in the 1980s with the attack on the Marine barracks in Lebanon and then the U.S. withdrawal from that region, even though Reagan was certainly a lot stronger than some other presidents would have been, still, you've just seen this in recent history, the United States not going after the head of the snake, as we pointed out at the very, very beginning of the war against terrorism, the so-called war against terror. Here we had troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, and yet the head of the snake, Iran, the head of radical Islam, Iran, they've basically gotten through all of the last 15, 20 years of the war against terrorism without really taking much of a hit at all. And of course, we've seen in recent years the expansion of Iran's power right across the Middle East. So that certainly is something that is fascinating to watch for sure. Another article here that I looked at this morning from PJ Media, just talking about how far to the left the Democrats are swinging. It says here former Vice President Joe Biden, it talks about just the rough week that he's had. Let me skip ahead. It's kind of got quite a few put downs here of the candidate. Well, it just talks about his flip-flopping on the Hyde Amendment, which prevents the federal government from funding abortion. And so now he's got to come out and make a change in his views. It says that's not enough. Abortion lust for the 21st century Democrats. I'd refer you to the program we did on Friday. If we have some time, we probably won't. But there were quite a few people that commented on the program that we posted on Friday, The Voice of Abortion Survivors. We went through some pretty difficult clips to listen to, these individuals that survive these abortion procedures and live to tell about it. Their testimony is on that Friday broadcast. You can get to that at the trumpet.com website. In any event, this PJ Media piece says his opponents, Biden's opponents, joined forces and assailed Biden en masse until he relented, but he's still being excoriated for having deviated from the new ultra-left hive in the first place. It says on Saturday, Biden had to face the overlords of the nation's largest abortion mill to atone for his sins against liberalism. So the Planned Parenthood, all of the advocates for abortions, pro-choice, and so on, they're coming out and denouncing Biden, and that caused him to flip-flop on this Hyde Amendment. This is from the Washington Post. It says the emotional moment at the Planned Parenthood candidates forum in South Carolina on Saturday came just after Biden was asked to defend his mixed record on abortion. The Post says last month, some Democrat activists, lawmakers, and 2020 challengers condemned Biden over his career-long support for the Hyde Amendment, forcing Biden to flip his position and to come out against it. It says Biden sought to explain that he shifted his stance because his overall health care plan, which he has not released, would rely on expanding access to federally funded health insurance, which means that if the Hyde Amendment remained in place, those people would have access to abortion coverage. And then PJ Media, commenting on this this Post article, says, Biden has a multi-decade Senate career and was the most recent Democratic vice president. There is no greater indication of just how far to the left his party has gone than the fact that he is being forced to explain his liberal views. Just how far left, it goes on to quote a couple of tweets coming from Democrats, from liberals, who have admitted, I'm no fan of the Trump administration or the Republican Party, but I can't vote for this. It's so far to the extreme. That's what we're seeing in the Democrat Party today. And then, of course, you have more and more of the holdovers or the leftovers from the Obama administration being exposed. Some of them are now out of office, I suppose, but they've, like I said last week, they've moved on to these posh jobs in Silicon Valley or in the news media. John Solomon had a story last week. The FBI warned early and often that a Manafort file might be fake. And yet they used it anyway. We've heard all about the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele's document, that bogus, you know, opposition research that was used then to get all those FISA warrants. But there's another document. It's known as the Black Cash Ledger. I think Sam Livingston has an article he's working up that talks more about this document. Another bogus document having coming out of Ukraine, having to do with Paul Manafort. Solomon says here, this second document, known as the Black Cash Ledger, remarkably has escaped the same scrutiny, even though its emergence in Ukraine in the summer of 2016 forced Paul Manafort to resign as Trump's campaign chairman and eventually face U.S. indictment. Solomon says, in search warrant affidavits, the FBI portrayed the ledger as one reason it resurrected a criminal case against Manafort that was dropped in 2014. You know about some of this history, many of you. You know, he had some financial misdealings, and yet the government never did really pursue it. I'm not defending his behavior, Manafort's behavior, but sure enough, when President Trump came along, when he was associated with President Trump, then they went after him. And a lot of it was based on this black cash ledger. It says here, the FBI's public reliance on the ledger came months after the feds were warned repeatedly that the document couldn't be trusted and likely was a fake. According to documents and more than a dozen interviews with knowledgeable sources, so very similar to the Steele dossier, a fake document, digging up dirt on anyone and everyone associated with Donald Trump, as I say, with respect to the lecture last night on the Jeroboam end. We tried to describe the contrast between these two administrations. What a difference. What a difference. The Antiochus administration, and then when you compare it to the administration today, it's definitely, as my father has said, it's definitely a new direction, a different direction for the United States of America. When we come back, we're going to have a short study before we conclude today's program with, as I say, with some clips, some highlights from the personal appearance campaign here, right here in Red Deer, Alberta. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as his own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That he calls human beings his children because he wants to be their father? This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly six decades. If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today.
Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
We interrupted our series on the mind of God, or a mind like our Creator. We had that going last week from Monday to Thursday, and then had a longer show on the voice of abortion survivors for Friday. But in the few minutes that I have left here today, we'll just continue with our study on developing a heart or a mind like God's. The Bible says King David had a heart like God's, and that actually means he had a mind like his Creator. He thought like God. He had God's nature, and that's what we're here. As true Christians, that's what we're here learning to do, and everyone's at different levels as we see every pack that we attend. You talk to people that are in the very early stages of acquiring that godly mind. And then, of course, you have others who have been around and in God's church for a number of years and have been studying God's ways. They've gone through the material, the literature, and you can see it in the way that they think, in the way that they act, in the way that they communicate. Paul said in Romans 11, this is verse 33, he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Paul's just marveling at the depth of God's awesome plan, a family plan that came from God's mind, and how much of a blessing it is that we can understand this purpose and this plan. It says in verse 34, "For who has known the mind of the Eternal, or who has been his counselor, even a converted mind. My father brings this out, I think, in the booklet From the Beginning. But even a converted mind really has to stretch itself to fully grasp the depth of God's purpose and plan. Who can know the mind of God, Paul says? We certainly need God's Spirit. We certainly need a miracle to take place in our minds for us to be able to comprehend the depths of God's purpose and plan. 1 Corinthians 2:10, I'll just read it to you. It says, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things," yes, the deep things of God. We need the Spirit of God to be able to delve deeply into the things of God, the purpose and plan of God. Continuing in Romans 11, it says in verse 35, "Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again." See, what have we contributed, or what have we given to God? And you look at human nature, you look at human beings today, and there's a lot of pride, a lot of vanity, a lot of people who think that they're better than God, that they know more than God. Who are we? We're God's creation. Verse 36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." So God and His Son, Jesus Christ, they are the source of every good thing, the source of revelation. Last night at the pack here at Red Deer, I talked about all of the materials that God has given us. Of course, my father makes the point in Saving America that the people of Israel during the Jeroboam administration are being lulled into a false sense of security. And I made the point last night that just the fact that we've been given all of this new revelation as well can lull us into a false sense of security. The fact that we have all this truth and we can think that maybe it'll just continue. And, you know, we have our literature, we can get the newest booklet from the PCG, and everything's good. But Amos 8 and verse 11 says that a famine of the word is coming. And I was telling those in attendance last night that you better make sure that you're acting on this. Of course, we're going to get into this more this evening, but you better make sure that you're acting on this truth, that you're a doer of God's word, because there is a cutoff point. It's not going to just continue on forever and ever. We're in the Jeroboam end. And so we want to act on this truth. We want to do something with this knowledge. Psalm 119, I'll just read you a couple of verses from this long psalm about God's law. It says here, "I have more understanding," this is verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for my testimonies are my meditation," or "for your testimonies, rather, are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients," it says in verse 100, "because I keep your precepts." So here the prophet Jeremiah, he meditated on God's law. King David said much the same in Psalm 19. It says in verse 148 here in this psalm, Psalm 119, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in your word." So he spent, well, when he woke up at night, Jeremiah spent a lot of time thinking and meditating on God's truth. Another psalm, Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." How hungry are we for the truth of God? How hungry are we for spiritual content? For so many people, there's just, we're just lazy when it comes to really committing to God's way of life, going all the way. I mentioned the example last night of Jehu. God praised him for following instructions, to punish the house of Ahab and Jezebel. And Jehu did that. There's something to be said for courageously acting on God's truth. But the Bible also brings out that Jehu, he continued on in the sins of Jeroboam. He didn't go all the way for God. There's plenty of examples of that in the Bible. Of course, there's examples of quite a few individuals that do commit wholeheartedly. You think of the example of Joshua following Moses and the many verses that talk about him wholly committing to the ways of God, to the way that God thought and reasoned. Joshua did that. But there's others like Jehu who just went part way. They didn't wholeheartedly commit to God's way of life. Acquiring the mind of God, if we're really going to be able to think and to reason the way that God does, it does require dedication and commitment and wholeheartedness on our part. When we come back, we're going to conclude today's program with, as I said at the top of the show, we've got a short interview. Dwight Falk was busy last night as he was editing some of the comments from those who attended the PAC. But also, he's got a short interview with David Vigil, who helped to organize this PAC here in Red Deer. So you'll get more of the facts and figures of the PAC event, together with some comments. I think we also have a little bit of a snippet from my presentation last night. So it's a bit of a montage or an audio journal from our visit to Alberta, Canada, right here in Red Deer, 90 miles north of Calgary, 90 miles south of Edmonton. So we'll conclude today's program after the short break with some of that feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send any and all comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Who and what is God? That is a mystery not understood by any religion, not explained by science, untaught by higher education. The intellectually vain originators of the evolutionary theory found the existence of God, as presented by religion, a mystery they could neither understand nor accept. But the religionists, whom they rejected, did not themselves understand the mystery of God. Yet God does reveal himself through his word, the Holy Bible, if these religionists would only believe God's own revelation. It is only in this inspired book that God reveals himself. But mankind in general has never believed God. That is what God says. Mystery of the Ages explains the Bible. In this book, you will find answers to the most perplexing questions of our day. We offer it to you, the viewer, at no cost or obligation. Request Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I'm Dwight Falk, here with the Personal Appearance Campaign Coordinator, David Vigil. And David, a lot of work goes into putting these together, obviously, a lot of manpower and a lot of hours. And I think it'd be really interesting if you could describe the process leading up to the campaign. What does it take to make a campaign like this happen?
Yes, so this is a personal appearance campaign. An exclusive event for Trumpet subscribers. We invite those that are subscribers. We send them three letters. The purpose is to allow them to listen to Mr. Gerald Fleury or Mr. Stephen Fleury live, be able to meet with him and ask any questions they have. If they're interested in becoming members are learning about how to become members. They can talk to ministry. So the event's there, exclusive. We send out the letters as an invite. That's normally the first step. And then while those invitations are going out through different rounds, we're coordinating with the hotels, getting the members their assignments. So the local minister, whoever's running it from the ministry side there, they'll assign the jobs to the members. They'll get trained on what they need to do. They'll read about it. And then just handle the logistics of how do we get the supplies. So we have the literature that we want to offer for free. We have display literature so they can offer more. We need the technology to be able to have people get registered, scan their tickets, and then backdrop, projector, all these things so that we can have a smooth running pack with some videos, some slideshows, and then make sure that Mr. Fleury can just have a very smooth lecture and no problems come up.
Yeah, that obviously that sounds like quite a bit of work to get that ready. And I will say also, as if this helps as a plug, there was cookies available and so and refreshments. People like those as well. So there's all kinds of things to make it, like you said, the most comfortable, inviting, and educational experience possible for people. So we had one campaign meeting already, and you have some statistics, which the listeners are always very interested in, and of how many people came and so forth. So I'll let you run with the statistics.
Yes. So after sending three rounds of invites, we've had 251 people request tickets. And of those, 177 showed up, which is a pretty great turnout. For the non-PCG members, it was 66, which is a 56% turnout rate. So that hits right pretty much a little bit higher than what we expect, but on par. And what was interesting with that was we invited pretty much the entire western half of Canada to this Red Deer pack. We just don't know when we'll come back, so we want to capture as many people as possible. And we had three people come from British Columbia, some people driving 8 hours. One person I know took a ferry because they're at the far western part of British Columbia, took a ferry and then drove 13 hours to come out tonight. So that was great to hear and learn about, just to see that kind of dedication. And I know there was one non-member that also came from Saskatoon, I think. So we had a few that came out of outside the Alberta area, but that was about 56% attendance rate from the non-members. There are 10 that signed up for the following Bible studies. There's going to be one on July 14th and one July 28th. So that's always great to see too. I think that's actually a really solid number considering that there was only 66. So a great turnout. And I think just seeing it too, after helping prepare for it, it's just great to see the excitement. People are interested and talking in the line to go meet with Mr. Stephen Fleury. It seemed like the ministers were all busy for at least an hour and a half afterwards. And I think just from that standpoint, it was just great to see.
And then, of course, there's another pack later on today, the final meeting here in this area, at least for now. And you also have some numbers about how many we expect on the second evening as well.
So the second evening generally has a smaller turnout. We have 151 tickets requested for that, about 55 non-members. We had a lot of people excited to come back the next night. Some of them couldn't make it, but it sounded like just from the way Mr. Stephen Fleury presented the information that he really sold them on coming back in. And I think we probably talked to maybe two or three people that changed their mind because of that. So it'd be interesting to see what actually happens today.
All right. Thanks for that. And of course, a lot of people, like you said, did travel great distances. So in some cases, it's tough to come back the second time. But really a wonderful turnout so far. I've been talking with David Hill, who is working with the personal appearance campaigns and coordinating all of this. And we thank you for your time.
Thanks. It was great to join you.
Now, to present in person the Bible's message of warning and hope, Trumpet Executive Editor Stephen Fleury.
Well, thank you. It's great to see so many of you here in Red Deer. As I was saying to a few people in coming in this evening, We go way back in this city. We've had some Feast of Tabernacle observances in this city in the late 1990s, I think it was, maybe the early 2000s. I think there was about 4 or 5 years where I was coming to this site every single year. So it's great to be back after all this time and to see some of our trumpet readers from this part of the world. I think actually from not just Alberta, but Saskatchewan, British Columbia. I got a report just before I got up here, so I want to make sure I get all of my provinces right. But it's great to see so many people coming from great distances, traveling many hours by car. I forget how many invitations that we sent out. But as you can see from that video, there really is a lot to do before the end of this age, and so many people that are contributing to this work, and we really want you to know that we appreciate your contributions, your support, and we also want you to know that we very much need that, because this is God's work, and we're here, as Jesus said, to finish that work.
Well, I was, I found it's quite inspiring. It's good to know. You know, like we thought, we've been reading the trumpet for quite a while, and I had received the plain truth before that. And but it's really good to get a handle on what's happening in the world. It gives us a different perspective, a different viewpoint, which I'm glad, you know. And I hope we're going to be seeing some more of this type of discussion tomorrow. And really, all the answers are there. But it's putting the puzzle together, and it seems like the Flurries have a way of putting that all together. I wasn't really involved during the time of Mr. Armstrong, but I found that from what I've been seeing and reading from what Gerald Flurry and Stephen have been doing, it really gives you a whole different way of looking at things, you know.
It's good to see a person rather than just reading articles of that person. It makes it more personal. And it makes you reflect more.
I've been reading Mr. Armstrong's books for a long time. And then moving around and stuff, of course, I lost track of certain things. And then one day I happened to remember The Plain Truth. You remember that magazine? Okay, The Plain Truth. And I asked about it. Whatever happened to it? Didn't get any answers for a few days. And then all of a sudden somebody said, oh, it turned into the trumpet. What? Turned into the trumpet? Well, how do I get that? Oh, I don't know. You'll have to phone such and such. And so she actually phoned me back with the number, and I phoned this woman and said, okay, can you send it to me? And how much? And she said, I'll send it to you, but it won't cost you anything. And so now I order my books, and I just read and read and read. If I wasn't so big, I would sleep in the car tonight so I could hear him tomorrow.
I met somebody back in the 90s who was affiliated with the Philadelphia Church of God, and he understood some of my frustration with the churches. He said a few things here and there and all along the way, and it kind of helped change my life. And then I saw Stephen Flurry on TV, and I thought, oh, and I started listening and watching, and yeah. What impresses me about the Philadelphia Church of God is that they seem to have prophecy and an understanding of history that does not exist anywhere else.
It's fantastic to be back where we used to be with the Worldwide Church of God. It's fantastic to see Mr. Flurry. The Philadelphia Church of God has helped me immensely. I hope they continue on, and I hope to be a member soon.